We have a new sponsor to tell you about. We hope you support them. If you own a gun, you need a safe, period. There's no excuse not to keep your firearms out of the wrong hands. Sportsman Steel Safes. Visit Sportsman Steel Safes. They support Armed American Radio. Man, we need to support them. If you're in the market for a safe or you don't have one and you've been thinking about it, call my friend Matt at Sportsman Steel Safe at 888-681-4140. 888-681-4140. Tell him you're an Armed American Radio listener, and he will work up a special deal for you on the spot. And make sure to visit Sportsman Steel Safe at SportsmanSteelSafes.com. SportsmanSteelSafes.com. Again, if you're an Armed American Radio listener, they will provide special pricing specifically for you. Tell them you listen to the show. See you on the radio.
Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, what a beautiful thing. KVNT, Alaska, Anchorage, you are joining hundreds of other cities here on the Armed American Radio Network live right now. For the full broadcast, it is a pleasure to have you here, 92.5 FM and 1020 AM. Welcome to the show, and what an hour you are in for now.
Absolutely.
We have been looking forward to this for quite some time. Shonto, say hi to Anchorage.
Hey, Anchorage, how you doing? How you doing?
How you doing, huh? There are crab fishing vessels up there. People are working hard up there. They live in a free state, America's great last frontier. They know a little bit about firearms.
Yeah, they
do. And the right to carry those firearms.
Absolutely.
Alaska is a constitutional carry state. Sean, my next guest is one I've been waiting to have on this program for quite some time. I'm a big fan of all of his books, watched both of his movies, and I want to give you a little bit of a background, okay? Some things you might not have known.
All right.
Because I'm getting old, I'm going to switch pairs of glasses as I move between screens. Dinesh D'Souza has had a 25-year career as a writer, scholar, and public intellectual. Former policy analyst at the Reagan White House. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
D'Souza also served as John M. Olin Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and the Robert and Karen Rishwain Fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He served as the president of the King's College in New York City from 2010 to 2012.
Wow.
Is called one of the top young public policymakers in the country by Investors Business Daily. He quickly became known as a major influencer on public policy through his writings. His books include America, Imagine a World Without Her, which I'm proud to tell you right now will be listed as number one on the New York Times best-selling list.
Nice.
In the next one being published. And Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream, The Roots of Obama's Rage, and many others. His two films, two of the highest-grossing political documentaries of all time, Obama's America 2016, and still in theaters right now, America. Dinesh D'Souza, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hello, gentlemen. Nice to be on the show.
We're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about firearms. And what I want to do with you, Dinesh, is frame this in this context and then just turn the mic over and really have a discussion with you and let listeners hear this conversation about the direction of this country under Obama. And I want to kind of tie it to the Second Amendment in this context. The Second Amendment to the Constitution is under historic attack under this presidency. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Of course I would.
Now, but it's only one part of a much larger attack on all of our liberties. Take it from there and let's frame the rest of the conversation around that. Your thoughts, first of all, on the attacks on the Second Amendment.
Well, the attacks on the Second Amendment and the freedom to carry firearms comes from the same source as the attack on religious liberty and economic liberty and even Obama's disregard for political liberty, his willingness to go around laws that he doesn't agree with, not enforce the immigration laws if he doesn't feel like it, pass over the Defense of Marriage Act, even though it's passed by both houses of Congress, signed into law by President Clinton. So for the founders, these different types of liberty, economic liberty, civil liberty, freedom of association, freedom of speech, the right to carry guns, These freedoms are all interconnected, and they come from a deeper idea. And the deeper idea is that we are free men and women. We don't get our rights from the government. We confer on the government certain limited powers in order to come together as a society. The government gets those powers from us. And any power that we don't give to the government, we keep for ourselves. So the source of rights is us, not the government. This could not be more diametrically opposed to Obama's philosophy, which is that the government collectively creates wealth. The government, in some sense, owns everything. The government gives us certain liberties and privileges which the government is free to take away. It's for the American founders, that was sort of the operating definition of tyranny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned, I'm glad you started out with heading into the founders. Let's go here. In your book, Obama's America, and this is, Dinesh, I have so many quotes from here I could carry you with. We just don't have enough time. So who were Obama's founding fathers? In Hawaii, he came under the influence of the former communist Frank Marshall Davis. At Columbia, he encountered the Palestinian radical Edward Said. At Harvard, Obama's mentor was the Brazilian socialist Roberto Unger. In Chicago, Obama befriended the revolutionary preacher Jeremiah Wright and also the former Weather Underground terrorist Bill Ayers. This is quite a group, isn't it, Dinesh?
It's quite a group. Well, when I first made 2016, the film that came out in the election year, people said, well, gee, Dinesh, you keep talking about Obama's roots in Kenya and his relationship with his father, Barack Obama Sr. And my answer was, you know, that's right. Obama did, in fact, himself admit to all that when he wrote his book, Dreams from My Father. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember that Obama's father died when Obama was a young man, in fact, 21 years old. Obama really learned chapter and verse of this anti-colonial and anti-American ideology here in America. And so there were a whole bunch of guys, many of them with foreign roots, but nevertheless, they were all here in the United States from Frank Marshall Davis all the way through Chicago. The one guy I didn't put into that movie and whom I deal with more in the new movie, America, is Saul Alinsky. Mm-hmm. I would add Alinsky to that group now and show that this was a gang of radicals and some of them pure thugs. That were the mentoring influence on Obama, and in the case of Alinsky, also on Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
It's fascinating stuff. Tell us about anti-colonialism, because you bring this theme, this woven throughout the book, Obama's America, and then I think people need to hear the background. Sean, we got the gun thing out of the way for the gearheads, right, that are going to attack me. So let's move in and tie this whole thing together in a greater scope. Mm-hmm. In the first couple of segments here, if you would set the stage for us, help us understand Obama. Help those who do not understand his true agenda. Let's go back to Obama's America, unmaking the American dream. You remind us that all previous great powers or empires that flourished before America's birth eventually died, don't you?
Well, the key to Obama is to recognize that he is that he sees things from a global point of view. Mm-hmm. Now, the way Obama looks at the world, the rich countries got rich by occupying, invading, and stealing from the poor countries. Mm-hmm. So the core idea of anti-colonialism is theft. That's why the West grew rich. It grew rich off of theft. Now, that idea has been taken not just by Obama, but by the whole progressive movement in this country and expanded out mm-hmm. to make the wealth of America, our wealth, yours and mine, to be the result of theft also. Yeah. Why? Because the left argues, well, we stole the country from the Native Americans, and then we stole the labor of African Americans. We stole half of Mexico in the Mexican War. Obama thinks that capitalism is a form of theft, depriving people of what he calls the fair share. American foreign policy is predation and plunder. So what we're seeing here is, beginning with anti-colonialism, the left has spun this elaborate narrative. I call it America the inexcusable. We're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Obama thinks it's fully justified not only to redistribute money in America, but to redistribute money and wealth from America to the rest of the world. It's a kind of attempt to put right, the whole ship of the world, which Obama thinks has been tilted to one direction unfairly for the past several hundred years.
Wow. You talk about America the inexcusable. You ask Ward Churchill in the movie about the evil empire, and he tells you you're in it, doesn't he? He says you're in it.
Yeah, what he's saying is that after the Soviet Union collapsed, one evil empire went down, but another one remains, and that's the United States. Now, by the way, that was exactly bin Laden's view. In his 2002 letter to America in the aftermath of 9/11, bin Laden basically says, we, the Muslims, helped to defeat the first evil empire, and now we're taking on the second one. America's the great Satan. And I think part of what is striking when you watch our film, which, by the way, AmericaTheMovie.com is where you can find out where this America film is playing in theaters near you. But in any event, when you watch the film, you realize that the progressive left in America and radical elements in this country have the same destructive impulse toward America as the radical Muslims.
That is frightening. And you debunk these myths, these progressive myths. We've got 30 seconds, Sean, so we'll go ahead and lead into the next segment here and bring Dinesh right back. But Dinesh, you do an amazing job in the movie America in theaters today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it yet, please see the movie. If you haven't, see it, particularly after this interview with Dinesh. He's giving you information that you'll be able to get in much more detail in the film itself. But you debunk these myths. When we come back, I want to ask a little bit more about the roots, Obama's roots. I want to go back to his father and to his mother so that we can go forward to where we are today. Who had more influence on him, his mother or his father? We'll get your opinion on that when we come back here on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, right back after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that, while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement, even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
Firearm safety is as important as breathing. If you own a gun, you need a safe from Sportsman Steel Safes. Sportsman is an American family business making quality vaults for over 30 years. Give my friend Matt a call for the weekly special. Tell him I sent you and he'll work out a deal. 888-681-4140. That's 888-681-4140. Talk to Matt before you buy your next safe. 888-681-4140 and visit SportsmanSteelSafes.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
I got to tell you, it's the Second Amendment Foundation as a plaintiff in the D.C. Palmer versus D.C. case. You just heard Tom Palmer on the show moments ago. Help them. They take donations. SAF.org. Join them. They need your assistance right now. Thank you very much for doing that if you're already a member. If you're not, get off your duff. You got to make it happen. I'm talking with scholar, author, filmmaker, Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Your background, I think, is important before we go into Obama's. I want people to understand your background. Tell us about where you came from and how you got to this country and what it means to you.
Well, I'm a non-white immigrant to America. I grew up in Mumbai, India. I came to this country at the age of 17. You know, I remember first seeing America, really out of the skies. I looked at New York City, and I realized right away my life would be different. I came to appreciate what America allows you to do in terms of not just economic opportunity, but shaping your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made my career as a writer and scholar studying America, now making movies about America. And I'm very proud to take on this destructive, progressive narrative that seeks to pull America down from within. It's a narrative that is not only shared by Obama, but it's being taught relentlessly in our schools,
yep,
our colleges. Mm-hmm. It's spilled out into the media, into, yep, Hollywood. So it's become almost a narrative of American shame. And I, as an immigrant, know that this narrative is short-sighted, it's distorted, it's wrong-headed. It's ultimately a big libel and a big lie about America.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to counter it both in the film as well as in an accompanying book that has the same title, Just America, Imagine a World Without Her.
Well, I got to tell you, hats off to you for sitting there and taking the fire with Bill Maher all the time in that liberal crowd. I don't know how you do it, but I'm glad you're on our team, so thanks for doing that.
Well, frankly, I kind of enjoy it. And what I mean is that these leftists, you know, they're incredibly pompous and they think that they know everything. But the truth of it is many of them haven't traveled very far. They have a very limited knowledge of other cultures, and they have even less knowledge of American history.
Yep.
What's really,
yep,
happened is that they've gone through American history. They've ignored most of it and then just strung together a small group of facts that they thread together into their narrative of making America the bad guy. And that's kind of all they know.
Well, you've thoroughly debunked it in the movie America, Imagine a World Without Her. Fascinating. Went and saw that with my mother and father and walked out of the theater. Yeah, I knew what to expect. I've read your books. But to see it and to hear it, when you hear Ward Churchill say you're sitting in the evil empire, rather than just reading it, it has a tremendous impact on you when you realize that this is the way, in fact, these people think. I want to talk about the American experience. You know, I grew up, was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and moved to a few cities in North Olmsted, Ohio, Mentor, Ohio, and then moved over to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then moved all over the country and experienced living in various parts of this country. And I grew up playing Little League ball, and I grew up learning how to water ski in Michigan on lakes, and I grew up playing football as a kid. I grew up with an American experience here. Obama never had that, did he? His view on America is entirely different than mine, isn't it?
Yes, we think of Obama. Look, now, I believe Obama was born in America, but if you think about Obama's childhood, his grandfather would take him to the Waikiki Shack of Frank Marshall Davis. Now, Frank, mm-hmm, Marshall Davis, former communist, a vehement anti-American, anti-colonialist, someone who thought, for example, that Truman was an instrument of American imperialism. He hated the Marshall Plan. He thought it was a plot to dominate the world. This is Frank Marshall Davis. So Obama's grandfather and Frank Marshall Davis would sit across from each other week after week, hour upon hour. They would drink, they'd smoke dope. And then Frank Marshall Davis would rail about how evil America is. And then, you know, little pathetic Obama would sit in the corner and take it all in. So this is the Norman Rockwell painting of Obama's childhood. He's ingesting all this anti-American tripe week after week. He's buying into all of it. It helps, you know, to shape him as a man, as a person. And then when he grows up, he seeks other mentors who have a similar ideology. By the way, that's why he sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for so long. He was hearing the same stuff that he'd been hearing from the time he was a kid.
You mean, well, Sean, I don't know about you, but I grew up smoking pot and watching my dad get high talking to communists, didn't you?
No.
I mean, that is, isn't that the America, that's the America we all grew up in, right?
That's not the one I grew up in.
In paradise, too. Dinesh, this is crazy stuff. You know, but, and I think it's important to point out, too, that Davis was what? He was in his mid-60s. Obama was, what, 10, 12 years old getting fed this
Obama
garbage.
Yeah, Obama was a young boy. He stayed close to Davis until at the age of 17. He left Hawaii and came to Occidental College in Los Angeles. And then he began to look for new mentors on the mainland.
Who was more important? Fascinating. This conversation is amazing. His father, he writes in Dreams of My Father, he spends a lot of time talking about those dreams. He never knew his father past the age of 10 or a little bit younger, wasn't it? So he really never really knew his father growing up, did he?
Right. Had he known his father, he would know that his father was a philanderer and a drunk and essentially a horrible father and kind of a horrible man who ended up a complete wreck and a failure. Mm-hmm. All the kids who grew up with the father basically distanced themselves from the father. Obama has a young brother named Mark who now lives in Shanghai. That guy had no love for the father because he could see the father beat his mother. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about Obama is that because the father wasn't around, Obama developed this devotional, mythical image of the father. Mm-hmm. He thought of his father as kind of an African Martin Luther King, somehow fighting to free Kenya from colonial oppression. So he had these grandiose visions of his father as some kind of a great man. His father was far from a great man, but Obama grew up with this deluded image of his father. And if you read his book, he says in his own words, and this is just a sample quotation, "It was into my father's image, the black man, son of Africa, that I poured all the attributes I sought in myself." So in other words, Obama is saying that he tried to become like his father in every way. He tried to take his father's opinions and make them his own. So ironically, now sometimes the liberals go, "Well, Dinesh, where are you getting all this stuff?" And I say, you know, I'm getting it from Obama. Go read his book.
Mm-hmm. Read his book. Mm-hmm. You know, and this grandiose image that you talk about is in large part perpetuated by his mother, wasn't it?
Yeah, his mother became bitterly anti-American. Now, she was a little bit of a hippie. She grew up in the 50s, but she rebelled against her family, against her hometown, against her pastor. And so basically she became the kind of person who liked to hang out with left-wing radicals who were anti-American. And so, you know, very few, and when Barack Obama showed up, she was like, "Wow, this is just what the doctor ordered. Here's a guy, you know, from Africa, railing against America, looking at America as the evil empire. This is just the kind of man she wanted." And even though he mistreated her very badly and basically dumped her right around the time Obama was born, she continued to think of him as a kind of political hero. And she is the one who cultivated this larger-than-life image of the father in Obama's feverish brain.
Well, again, Sean, I mean, you know, it sounds like my mom, you know. This is ridiculous.
That's far from mine.
No, I'm just kidding, just kidding. This whole thing is crazy to hear. Wow. We're getting ready to take another break, so what we'll do is we'll just set it up with this. When we come back, I want to ask you why we don't really know. And I mean, we know a lot about him. You're finding out more and more about him. You're doing the job the mainstream media should have done years ago prior to the first election and in 2008. And we'll talk about that when we come back with author, New York Times bestselling author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza right after this. Don't go away. It's great stuff.
Here at 23. even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off your everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and lightweight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WalterArms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed. The GOA. Oh, I'm going to cover some stuff from the Gun Owners of America here in a little bit, too, but we have great sponsors on this program who are fighting while the sheeple are sleeping. Are you one of them? Okay, I remind you every week to put toothpicks under your eyes, please. Because it's those folks that have toothpicks under their eyes that are fighting on your behalf, even while you're sleeping with the sheep. Well, please, support these groups that support you. You have a right to keep and bear arms. It is alive and well today. as you saw in Washington, D.C., because of the Gun Owners of America, because of the United States Concealed Carry Association, the National Rifle Association, the Second Amendment Foundation, and all these fantastic, fantastic grassroots groups across the country in your state as well. It's great to be talking with Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, I want to go back to, I got so much I want to go over with you, so let's just jump right in. In your first book about Obama, The Roots of Obama's Rage, you admit in the second book that you really didn't have a whole lot to go on when that book was originally written. And then, of course, in Obama's America 2016, you have a lot more to work with. You've traveled the world, literally gone and followed in this man's footsteps. Why don't the media tell us these things? And why is it we don't know, or we know so little about him? And his college, for example, his days at Columbia, why?
Well, mainly because the press correctly intuits that there's damaging information there, and they want to make sure it doesn't get out. So, for example, nobody knows what Obama did in his years in Columbia. As to my knowledge, there's not a single person who knew Obama at Columbia who has ever come forward. Not one. Not one student who ever ate with him, lived with him, went to class with him. Now, think about how odd that is. We don't know what Obama's grades were. We don't have his thesis, even though we know he wrote one. Now, how is this possible? It's only possible because Columbia, first of all, won't release the information about the grades. But similarly, nobody is actually checking on it. Mm. And they aren't checking on it, I believe, because they fear that there is something there that is either embarrassing or damaging or destructive. Obama might have been hanging out with people, for example, who are dangerous radicals, possibly dangerous criminals. In any case, none of that has come to light, and I don't know if it ever will come to light. When I was down in Kenya, I went to Obama's family homestead, spoke to his grandmother, I talked to his sister, I met his brother George Obama in the Huruma slum of Nairobi. Now, when I was down there, I would ask people like George, I'd say, hey, you know, who's been down here? CNN, you know, New York Times, the CBS News, and all these guys were like, no, none of them have been down here. You're the first guy to show up. And I'm thinking, wow, this is like one of the biggest stories in the world, and the American press is kind of not interested in covering it. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that leads me to this question. Why? What skin does the press have in this game that they don't want it out? What do they care?
I think it's simply this, that there is an ideological, it's not just that the press is liberal, because of course the press did cover Carter, they did cover Clinton. They don't want the first African-American president to fail.
Yep.
They feel that would be a moral disgrace.
Yep.
And so they are willing to cover up for this guy. If I walked into the offices of these newspapers and gave them incriminating information that would cause Obama to resign tomorrow, I assure you it would not be in the paper the next day.
Mm-mm.
No. If it was, it'd be 20 years after his terms ended, and it'd be buried on page 19. Sean, you have a question for Dinesh. Go ahead.
Yes, Dinesh. How does his family perceive him overseas? I mean, does he talk to them? Do they know? I mean, does he even recognize that they exist?
Great question.
Well, we could fill this whole show on this topic alone. There's all kinds of craziness that's going on down there, I assure you. I mean, look, here's the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, and his half-brother is living in the kind of third-world poverty that I haven't seen since I left India at the age of 17.
That's crazy.
I mean, this is a guy who has to walk through muck, you know, and in order to just get out of his slum, and he's living in degraded conditions. Obama has an aunt who sells coal on the street for like $1 a day.
That's crazy.
So this is an amazing situation. I mean, this guy Obama just has to move his little finger and all these people there would be at least living in basic comfort,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't do that. The rest of the family regularly has George followed in order to monitor his movement. So there's craziness, there's paranoia. Obama goes around, you know, we are brother's keeper. You know, anybody who knows anything about his real family is laughing their head off. But somehow with a straight face, this guy can talk about this and the press covers it with sort of appropriate devotional attention, like, wow, we are brother's keeper. But So I think we have to realize that we're in a very dysfunctional situation in American politics. And ironically, the press, whose job it is to keep accountability, isn't really doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the mainstream media, in my book, I say it all the time, is probably the single, I believe, one of the single most dangerous entities we face in this country today, because they are, in fact, pushing a political agenda. And not only by what they tell us in the agenda that they drive, Dinesh, but also by virtue of what they leave out and don't tell us, can be even more damaging, as we see in the case of Obama. In that context, you talk about his brother and the squalor that they live in, and his aunt who sells coal. You also mention, in I believe, a couple schools named after him after he was elected as a senator in Illinois, correct? And they bear his name, and he actually went down there and promised to help fund them. Has he lived up to that promise?
Yeah, no, he goes down there, he says, oh, this is terrible, you guys don't have textbooks, you don't have proper electricity, you know, I'm going to help. So they think, wow, this is what a wonderful American man, so successful, right here from Kenya. They rename the school Barack Obama School, never hear from him again. They make countless efforts to contact the White House, no response. So this is Obama's character. Look, let's just accept it. Now, interestingly, in the new film, America, the thing that's blowing people away is that we have all this rare footage of Saul Alinsky.
Right.
Now we're coming right back to America, and Saul Alinsky is a guy, community organizer like Obama. Obama keeps going back to Chicago in order to learn the Alinsky technique. Well, what is this Alinsky technique? Well, it's basically the technique of how to shake down other people for money. I mean, Alinsky would hang out when he was a graduate student with the Capone gang, the Al Capone mafia. And he says, he admired the way in which the mafia was able to shake people down for money. And Alinsky begins to think, well, how can I do that politically? I don't really want to point a gun to people's head, but if I can make them feel ashamed of their country, if I can make it seem like their wealth has been stolen from other people, then in some ways they're going to feel very guilty. I can have them up against the wall, and I can reach behind them and lift their wallets. And so when Obama hears about this guy Alinsky and how he's so good at the art of political shakedown, Obama goes, wow, I better go to Chicago and learn that. That's kind of my aspiration, to figure out how to be a political shakedown artist like Alinsky.
Well, what a great goal.
Wow.
That's a great goal.
It's the same thing. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. It's like the little pickpockets in Charles Dickens's, Oliver Twist, who all wanted to learn what Fagin knew.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Let's quote from your book that you point out to Saul Alinsky, very dangerous man. Saul Alinsky, mentor to Obama and Hillary, ladies and gentlemen, and Hillary, remind you of that, like to boast that, quote, and this is from Alinsky, I could persuade a millionaire on a Friday to subsidize a revolution for Saturday, out of which he would make a huge profit on Sunday, even though he was certain to be executed on Monday. This guy believed this stuff, didn't he, Dinesh?
Yes, and also, if you pick up his book, Rules for Radicals, and by the way, Obama used to teach this book and the Alinsky techniques in Chicago, you notice that the book has a very strange dedication, one of the most strangest dedications in the history of publishing. The dedication is to Lucifer, i.e. the devil, and Alinsky calls him the first radical, who established his own kingdom. So here's Alinsky. Now, Alinsky is an atheist, so I'm not trying to imply that he was some sort of a serious devil worshiper. But what I'm saying is he admired the way that the devil was a master of lies, a master of deceit. And Alinsky basically says, we need deceit. We radicals need deceit because we have to con the American middle class into thinking that we are their friends. So we have
incredible.
To dress middle class. We have to look middle class. We got to talk middle class. But ultimately, we hate middle-class values and we want to destroy them, but we can't let the middle class in on that.
Okay, we're gonna pick right up from there with some quotes from one of your books about that. Then we're going to go right back to guns, gearheads. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to tie in what we just found out about Obama and why he hates your Second Amendment freedoms. Back right after this with Dinesh D'Souza.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Old Faithful holsters, designed to be as reliable as their Yellowstone National Park namesake. Made from the highest quality American leather and ultra-strong kydex, we use only the most durable materials available and put our 50-year warranty where our mouth is. Have a gun you'd love to carry but can't find a holster? Purchase one of our holster kits and build it yourself. To purchase a fully assembled holster for your carry gun or to build one yourself, visit oldfaithfulholsters.com now.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WalterArms.com.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Can I take my gun up to heaven? You know she's always been by my side.
This is Armed American Radio, giving you a voice. Now, your host,
can I take my gun up to heaven?
Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. Final segment with Dinesh. We're going to jump right into it. I have to ask about some current events. Dinesh, with everything you know, with Barack Obama's history and his, what I believe to be, hatred for our traditional allies, we're seeing a lot of feedback now. Netanyahu just told basically the administration, get out of my face, don't ever second guess me again. The relationship with Israel and the direction we're going there right now while Israel is fighting a war. Sean, we still have him?
I had to get him.
Yeah, we lost him?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try to get him back before this segment closes out. Fascinating conversation. We've probably got a cell phone issue, so we'll come back with him. But what an absolutely fascinating conversation, and I hope Sean is I see him pulling him back up here now, because I want to tie this back to firearms. Now that we've learned a little bit about his background and his upbringing, would love to find out his thoughts on what he thinks or can pinpoint for us, which specific part of his upbringing has driven his anti-gun agenda that we've all seen manifest itself, that we knew was there anyway, but in particular since Newtown in 2012. Sean, are we having any luck there? Not yet. Okay. Well, we'll try to go back to him. Sean, absolute fascinating conversation with Dinesh D'Souza. I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, absolutely.
You had a question that you were going to ask him. I'd like to know what you felt about the conversation with him, and hopefully we can get him back. If not, we'll bring him back in a future date.
You know,
it opened up
my eyes, you know, once he put everything into context, because some of the questions that I had about the way Obama sees the world and the way I see the world is totally different. And even though we may be from the same community, it's totally different, because my mother raised me, as well as her parents, that America, you could do anything that you want to within reason. You can make a life here. And when I went out of the country recently, I saw the passion that people that have never been to this country have for this country. And then I get back, and here's a man who is the president of the United States, which some people would never thought he would ever be president. But yet the success that he has had, he doesn't realize, or he doesn't want to show, that everybody has the same. You can make something of yourself in this country. I don't get it.
It's the American experience we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. It's the American experience that, regardless of what color your skin is,
mm-hmm. exactly,
what city you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're, for the most part, most of us are I'm a product of public schools. I went to a Catholic school when I was much younger. But we're products. All of us are basically products. Now, we may do different things and live in different environments. And, you know, there's the diversity, okay? Some of us drive Priuses. Some of us drive trucks. You know the routine. We have fun with that. But the fact of the matter is, we all watched. You know, I remember, you know, being 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I remember watching the news.
Yeah.
I remember seeing scenes from Vietnam.
Absolutely.
I remember asking my father as I was growing up, am I going to have to go to Vietnam?
Absolutely, yeah.
Barack Obama wasn't here at that point in time. He's 1 year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't here. Actually, he's about my age, I guess a few months apart. But, you know, he wasn't here. His mother shipped him back to the United States to live with his grandparents when he was 10 years old from Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get sent back. There's a different life experience there.
Yes.
And his life experience includes a lot of time outside of America during some very formative years of his life. And Dinesh puts that together in his books. If you read the books in order, I would encourage you to do so.
And see
to read The Roots of Obama's Rage.
Absolutely.
Then read Obama's America. And then read America, which, by the way, according to Dinesh's website, on July 30th, just days ago, he was informed by his publisher that book is now is going in the next published New York Times list, which will probably be this week, will be number one.
And go see the movie.
Yeah, then follow that up with the movies, with 2016, Obama's America. What Dinesh talks about is what America he believes will look like after a second term.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind that when he wrote that book, he did not have the knowledge that he has today
mm-hmm.
that we see manifest itself in the movie America. And it's fascinating, and I'm very sorry that we lost him, because I wanted to get his opinion and tie this all back to guns and to the right to keep and bear arms. And why we saw, and why some of us were able to predict this anti-gun agenda mm-hmm. several years ago, when we told you here on this program, you can pull up the past shows, when we told you during the election that a second Obama term would be devastating to our right to keep and bear arms, that the attacks would come. We knew that because we had the information coming directly out of the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
From the Brady campaign, who these people were frustrated as all get out during the first deal. This is all part of the plan. And if you've read his books, he's following the Saul Alinsky plan to a T.
Yeah.
And you heard Dinesh say in the previous segment, he's not doing anything. You know, people were saying, how'd you find all this out? He said, read it.
Yeah.
He wrote it himself. It's in his own words. We're only 4 days away from fundamentally transforming America.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
That?
Oh, when he came out and said that Joe Biden was his running mate, that's all you needed to know, because these people are progressive. They are progressives, and I don't think people
understand.
I'm not
understand. Even sure Biden really knew what that meant.
Yeah, he
time.
Knows
he
what it is.
He just probably looked around funny. Because, I understand he likes the skinny dip. There's a visual
yeah,
for
that's,
you.
Yeah, that's too much right there. But I'll yeah, tell
there,
you
there's,
where...
There's a visual, KVNT listeners.
I tell you where all this comes from. With his mother and his father, he has this mentality that we have to give to people because people can't take care of themselves.
Well, it's distribution of wealth, but he
exactly.
believes it, as Dinesh points out so clearly
yeah.
in the books and the movies, that he believes in redistribution of wealth on a global scale.
Exactly.
And that is taking your wealth, and giving it to other countries. He points out a couple of just eye-popping examples in some of his earlier writings about American companies who
yes.
were passed over for government contracts,
yep.
defense contracts, to Brazilian companies. Absolutely incredible stuff. A couple quotes from the book. But let's remember, and this is very important as we get close to closing out this hour. I want to remind you of something that he writes here when he says, let's remember that America has only been a superpower for a couple of generations, since World War II. Think about that. And America has only been the sole superpower for two decades, since the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1992. So far, America has been the shortest-lived superpower in world history. And history shows that once countries lose their top position, they will never get it back. Is that Obama's legacy as we move towards 2016? I certainly hope not. Requires all of us to do something about it by getting active. Don't sit on your duff. Make a difference. Make a phone call. Donate a dollar. Donate some time. Knock on a door. Do what you have to do to change the course of this country. You're the only one that can do it. I tell you this every week. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that unarmed, stupid cave person. And thanks to Dinesh D'Souza, we're going to reach out for him and try to bring him back. We know he had a good time. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in heat. Tell it to me by the clamor now, baby.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters, here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.